Okay, question. Before we get the Bible out, I want you to think of a time when you had to beg for something. It can be serious, it can be humorous. Let me know. Mackie.
I wanted a recorder.
A recorder. Is that a tape recorder?
I cried.
You cried.
You got it.
You got it. Yeah. Okay, I think as parents we call that pestering. Okay, all right. Somebody else. Somebody had to beg for something, serious or humorous. Yes, Gail.
I wanted a horse, but I didn't get it.
You cried and cried and you still get the horse. No. All right, one more. One more. Nice and quickly. Someone had to beg for something. I can understand that. Okay. All right, now we go to the Bible. Someone, could you turn up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, read to verse 21, stand up and read with a very loud voice, please. We want that on the mic.
Sure.
2 Corinthians 5, who's going to read for me? Peter Mickelson, you're a winner.
Which one? What?
2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21.
I'll turn around, otherwise
that's good.
So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thanks, Peter. I find myself challenged by the images, the visual images and the verbal images in verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Or as the Authorized Version says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Question I had was, how do we conceive of God as a begging God? As a God who implores people. A few days ago, I tweeted that same thought, and someone responded and said, I find it so difficult just to imagine how God could beg for anything. And I think I'm with that person on that. But that is what we read here. We read of God making his appeal through us. We read of God as Paraclete. We read of God who comes beside us, who urges us forward, who draws us closer, who encourages us into his own grace. And I think, you know, we can live with that, can't we? We can live with that picture. But God begging, God imploring people, it's a colourful image. A couple of cameos from Scripture where the same word is used. Luke, they're all from Luke actually. Luke tells us of a man who covered with leprosy, fell with his face to the ground and begged Jesus to cleanse him. Luke tells us of a father desperate for his son to be relieved of his demonic oppression, and he begged Jesus to intervene. And again, Luke tells us of a demon-possessed man in the Gerasenes, and he begged Jesus not to torture him. So we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, we beg you on behalf of God to be reconciled to him. I think this has to be one of the most astounding statements about God in the Scriptures. They're one of the most astounding images that we read about. We're big on the sovereignty of God and on the awesomeness of God. God as creator, the everlasting Father, the omnipotent one. But here he's imploring and he's begging and he's entreating people to be reconciled to him. The same action that Mackie and Gail and John were referring to. You're begging someone. I couldn't remember a time when I begged anyone for anything. I could remember a time when I begged God for people. And I remember, I know that I still do. And then to transpose that whole emotional state that I have and that I'm in at that time into the person of God, I find that I don't know whether I'm doing the right thing or not, but I think that's what the word is saying, isn't it? That God is begging us and begging people, imploring people through us. This is a Reformed conference. I have to quote Calvin. Calvin says, this verse, this passage, is an unparalleled commendation of the grace of Christ, inasmuch as he stoops so low that he does not disdain to entreat us. In terms of concept, think of a couple of other passages of Scripture with me. Luke 15, we talked about this in church the other night, the parable of the prodigal son, God, whatever you want to call it, parable of the prodigal. The younger son's returned, you know the story. There's a glorious reunion with the father. There's a big feast. The whole village is there. But the older son, the elder brother, stays outside. He is so angry at what has happened. He refuses to go in and joins the party. What does the father do? We read that the father went out and pleaded with the son, pleaded with him. As Jesus draws near to Jerusalem, he's making his way to his own death. He looks at that city, the geo-spiritual heart of Israel. It's the city where he will die. It's full of people who will bathe for his blood. It's full of people who would rather Jesus Barabbas than Jesus, son of the Father. He pictures the thorns. He pictures the nails. He pictures his own disgusting death. And he weeps for the city. And he beseeches them that they might still change. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You can hear the imploring, begging God in the words of his son. One more passage, Old Testament. We hear the gracious Lord pleading with his wayward, rebellious, and adulterous Israel. Ezekiel 18. Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge you. When I read these words, I started to read them with a top-down, angry God type, persona. But you listen to it. You Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you've committed. And get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. These are not words of anger. These are words of grief, I think. These are words of an imploring God who wants rebellious, sinful, broken, God-hating humanity to turn him. When I first started thinking about this a couple of days ago, I just became overwhelmed with this sense of God who wants people to come to him so much, who wants the broken to come into his love and his grace. And I started asking myself some questions. Is my congregation one where God makes his appeal through me and through the people of my church? Is my ministry and yours, is it true to this ministry of reconciliation that God has entrusted to us? Do you think this idea of a begging God and an imploring God, the God who begs, is a predominant image in the way that you and I do ministry? Are the places where we serve and minister, are they places where God implores people? Where through us, we implore people, implore, where we beg, where we cry, where we're down on our knees and we're asking for people to consider who Jesus is, that they might turn to God, that they might find life? Are we so overcome with the lostness of our world that we're on our knees imploring God for these people, for our neighbours, for our families who don't know him? Is our denomination an imploring denomination? Can our communities hear God imploring them in our words? Can they see and feel God imploring them in our actions? Are God and I actually interested in the same things? Are we impacted by the same things? It occurred to me last night that in a little under a year, we're going to be gathered as a synod. And we're going to have lots of discussions about ministry and mission and leadership and issues, theology, worship. And while I don't want to push the negativity button, I sometimes wonder, and I say this as someone who headed the last synod, so, you know, I'm saying it to me as much as to anyone, maybe more to me than anyone. I sometimes wonder if all our discussions about all the things that we rabbit on about amount to little more than an annoying squeak in the ears of an imploring and begging God. The God who begs brings all our ministry and everything we do into a really stark perspective, doesn't he? And I'm challenged, personally. I'm challenged to lean into this mendicant God and to reflect his heart in my ministry and in my calling. So a prayer. God, let us be deeply moved. Let us be overwhelmed with this view of you as an imploring and begging God. We know that you are mighty, Lord. We know that you are sovereign. We know that you rule our world and our nation and our hearts and our churches. But God, let us not only see your heart and grow in our awareness of who you really are, but let us reflect your image the way that we were designed to do into your world, into your church, into our relationships, in our marriages, in our homes, in our hearts. And God, may we have the honor and the privilege of being a begging people, an imploring people, a people who plead with others to be reconciled to you. And may we reflect that same passion as we gladly embrace your call to ministry. Hear us, Lord, for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.